Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. God actually changed my message this afternoon. there are times in our lives where we're overwhelmed with the circumstances that we face. They're beyond our ability. I think of Jonah. Jonah was definitely overwhelmed beyond his ability in the belly of a fish. But God told the fish to spit him on dry land. The disciples were overwhelmed in the boat. Jesus said, "Peace, be still," and they were delivered. The Israelites were overwhelmed when the army of Pharaoh was all around them and the sea on one side. God told Moses, "Moses, lift your rod and I'll split the sea." And God made a way. I'm so glad that God is able when we aren't. I'm glad that God is in the business of coming alongside us. And as it says, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And this scripture in Colossians is one of my favorites because it shows us just how great our Savior is. And it shows us how able He is because of who He is. Sometimes people say, well, theology is not relevant. We need things that are relevant. I don't think there could be possibly anything more relevant than the theology of who Jesus is. Because when we understand who He is, we can have the faith to trust Him in the circumstances of life. And so we need to put our faith squarely upon Jesus Christ because He's able. And that's the title of my message, is Jesus is able. Paul has talked about them being strengthened according to God's might, giving thanks in verse 12 to God the Father, who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. In Him, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by Him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might come to have the first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile everything to Himself, whether things on heaven or things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds, expressed in your evil actions, but now He has reconciled you by His physical body through His death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before Him. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard. This gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it. Jesus is able. Why is He? Well, the first thing I want you to see is His person, who Jesus is. Jesus, according to verse 15, is the image of the invisible God. I want to tell you something. When Jesus walked the face of this earth, the Bible says that God revealed Himself through Jesus. So that when we saw what Jesus did, we were seeing what the Father was like. When we saw how Jesus responded, we saw how the Father responds. When we saw the compassion of Jesus, we saw the compassion of the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You see, he is the image of the invisible God. He perfectly reveals what the invisible God is like because he is, in fact, himself God. Look over at verse 19. It says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Don't let any cultist or anybody else in this world tell you that Jesus is a second-rate God. He's not. All the fullness of deity dwells in him bodily. All means all. Full means full. Jesus is fully and completely God. The fact that Jesus in his person is God means that he's able. He is able to handle what you're facing. The God who spoke the universe into existence, the 100 billion known galaxies, an estimated 200 billion galaxies, the number just keeps getting larger. The God who created all the different species. Someone was telling me the other day, I think it was Steve Myers, was telling me that they discover two or three new species of animal life in the ocean every day. Think about that for a second. The variety and the amazing creation that God has made. This is the God, Jesus Christ, who cares for you and who is your good shepherd. He is able. If you've got a problem in your family, take it to him. If you've got a problem in your workplace or some other area of your life, your finances or with sickness or with grieving and the loss of a loved one, whatever it is, take it to him because he is able. He is God, a very God. So much God as if he were not man. So much man as if he were not God. The great mystery, Jesus, fully God, fully man in one person. This is his person. Because he's a man, he understands what we go through experientially. Because he's God, he's able to do something about it. And so Jesus is able. Trust him. Trust the greatness of his person. And recognize that he is God, a very God. Jesus is able. Why is he? First of all, his person. Secondly, his privilege. His privilege. If you look in verse 15, it says he's the firstborn over all creation. If you look at verse 17, it says he is before all things. This word before can mean before in time, but also before in rank. He is before all things. Then it says in verse 18, he's also the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead. His privilege is that he is everything. He's first in everything. The firstborn over all creation means that he's in charge of it all. He tells the planets where to go in their course. He tells the oceans how far they can go. He has the privilege of being the creator, the firstborn, in the sense not so much as coming into existence, but the firstborn in the sense of the position of privilege that the firstborn had in the society of that day. It shows his authority. It shows his power. He's before all things, so he can't have come into existence. That's what he said. But what this means is that he is in charge. All of creation has to obey him. That's why he could spit and make some mud and put it on the blind man, and the blind man began to see. That's why he could say to the paralytic, rise, take up your bed, and walk, because he's in charge of it all. That's his privilege. He is the Lord of creation. He is the Lord of everything that is. Every demon in hell must bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Satan himself must bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the sovereign Lord over all that is. That's his privilege. He's also the Lord of the church. He's the head of the church. The head of the church is not the pastor. Head of the church is not the deacons. The head of the church is not the congregation. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. He is in charge. That's his privilege. And because he's in charge, he knows how to supply exactly what we need in the church. Exactly what we need in terms of encouragement. Maybe you need encouragement tonight. Can I tell you, Jesus is able to provide it. He's given a body of believers here in this church to encourage you. Hope you take advantage of that. You're a Sunday night crowd, right? So you're taking advantage. But God has put these things into place for us. Jesus is the Lord of the church. Guess what? If we're listening to him, he can take us and use us to be a great and profound encouragement and help to each other. He's able to help us do that. You say, well, I am just the foot. I am just the hand. I'm not the eye. What good am I? Can I tell you something? If Jesus Christ is in your corner, you're able. Because Jesus is able through you. He's the Lord of the church. That's his privilege. He has privilege to give the gifts. As the Holy Spirit gives the gifts, he directs the Holy Spirit. Because he is the Lord of the church. And he's put exactly the gifts in this church that this church body needs. And he's able, through the ministry, as each one of us, you use the gifts that God has given us to use this church, not only for us to minister to each other, but for us to make a profound difference in this community as we follow him. That's his privilege. He is the head of the church. So Jesus has all the privilege and all the authority. He is also the firstborn from the dead. He's even the first of the resurrection. That means he has the privilege of one day coming with a shout to rapture his church, to catch up all those who have died and raise them up bodily, and to bring the rest of us up to meet him in the air. He has that privilege because he's the firstborn over all who are raised. This is his privilege. You can trust him. He is able to meet your need. So Jesus is able. Why is he? His person, his privilege, and thirdly, his power. I love this. Verse 16, for everything was created by him. Everything. Just think about that for a second. The sun was created by him. We can't get too close to the sun and we burn up. He is the one who set all the limits for all the different things. You know, they say if the earth was just a little bit closer to the sun, we'd all burn up. If it was a little bit farther away, we'd all freeze to death. He put all that together in his power. God tells Job, he says, the Leviathan, can you make him do what you want him to do? He's not concerned about you. He's a dinosaur, Job. He's not intimidated by you. He can do whatever he wants to do. I'm the one who created him. You see, when we see the thunder in the sky that shakes the ground, when we see the power of lightning or the waves of the sea come and take away a house, and we see all the power, what they call the power of nature, you see, this is just a drop in the bucket of the power of our great Savior who created all these things. He created everything that is. This is his power. Everything in heaven and on earth, he created the angels. He created the heavenly places. By the way, that ought to get you excited about the place he's preparing for you. Amen? If he has created all that is, including the heavenly places, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place, I'll come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Everything in heaven on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Now, these names that he's using here are names that are sometimes used for demonic powers. Jesus created all of the angels, and he's sovereign over them. But he's also created the human authorities of this world, the government and the structure of government and so forth. He's created these things. Now, he's not responsible for the sin that's taking place in these positions, but he's sovereign over them. He has all power. The Bible says in Proverbs, he holds the heart of the king in his hand and turns it whichever way he wants it to go. I want to tell you something. Democrat or Republican, God's in charge. God is sovereign. He's sovereign over the nations of this world. You remember Nebuchadnezzar? He said, look at all these things I've done. All these things I've accomplished. And God said, you're going to lose your sanity for 7 years. And I'm going to show you that I'm the one who's in charge. I'm the one who's sovereign. And Nebuchadnezzar's hair grew out long and his fingernails grew out long. And he was going around eating grass and acting crazy for 7 years. And finally, God restores his sanity. And those 7 years of Nebuchadnezzar's life are absent from the history because nothing happened in Nebuchadnezzar's reign during that 7 years. He was crazy because God's sovereign. His power is such that he's in charge over the rulers of this world. Look at verse 17. He's before all things. Before all things in time, and before all things in rank. And by him, all things hold together. Now, this is a great word. In the original Greek, this word is in the perfect tense. Everything came together by his power, and everything holds together by his power. The universe is in the control and under the power of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but when Jesus was hanging on the cross bearing the penalty of our sin, he was also holding the universe together by his power. That's a Savior we serve. And nothing can stop his power. Everything that is, the Bible says that one day this earth is going to melt with a fervent heat, it's going to pass away. All Jesus has to do is just let go, and it'll burn up. He is in control. He is the one holding our atoms together. I remember we had a philosophy professor who was talking about protons, neutrons, and electrons, and I told Steve Myers, I said, now you disagree with me if I'm wrong on this, because I was talking to him about this. He's a scientist. And I said, but, you know, they kind of understood a little bit about how that worked. But then they didn't, when they got down to the subatomic level, the sub-subatomic level, there were quarks, and they made no sense at all why they stayed together. I know why they stay together, because our great Savior is holding them together by his power. His power is so great that we can't even fathom it. A couple of times in Jesus' ministry, they got just a little bit of a glimpse of his power. The demoniac, who had an entire legion of demons, nobody could do anything with him. They bound that guy with chains, and he broke the chains. I mean, he just had this superhuman strength. But Jesus cast those demons out with a word. And the Bible says that they saw this man that had formerly just been bound by these demons. They saw him sitting clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Just a little glimpse of the supernatural power of our great Savior. And they were afraid. The disciples, when they saw Jesus calm the sea with a word, they said, what manner of man is this? And the Bible says they were amazed. Their jaws were on the ground. We've never seen anything like this. Just a little bit of his power. You see, every day that we live, as we go about our lives, and we're not really paying attention to this, but Jesus is holding everything together by his power. So, Jesus is able. Why is he able? His person, his privilege, his power, and finally, his peace. His peace. He is the Prince of Peace, isn't he? All of this power, all of this ability that Jesus has, he's using for us. And verse 20 tells us about it. It says, let's look back up at verse 19. It says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Now, reconciling everything, whether things on earth or things in heaven. What's he talking about there? Sometimes people think a lot about this, our side of what Jesus did. Jesus died for me. He died to pay the price for my sins, to bring forgiveness to me. But we forget that Jesus wasn't just reconciling men. He was reconciling God to man. With one arm, he's holding, reaching down to us. With the other arm, he's reaching up to the Father. And he's bringing them together on the cross. How does he do that? Well, because God is just and he's holy. He hates sin. He can't stand sin. Were Jesus not to die on the cross, God could never be friends with us. He could only be an enemy. Because he's not neutral towards sin. He hates it. All you got to do is just have a little bit of a reading through the Old Testament and see how God responded to things that seem minor to us, but they were so serious to God, such as eating a piece of fruit in the garden. Such as touching the ark when Uzzah touched the ark and God struck him dead. Or Nadab and Abihu offering unauthorized fire outside the tabernacle courts, and fire came from the tabernacle to consume them. You see, God was dangerous to them because the cross had not yet made the way to enter boldly. You see, if Jesus hadn't died on the cross, you and I could not go into God's presence boldly. We would go at very fear of our lives. But Jesus did go to the cross. And the fact that God reconciled heaven to earth was shown when Jesus cried out, "It is finished." And God himself took the temple veil and he said, "Whoosh, the way's now open." Nevermore will there be a barrier between men and God, because the blood of Jesus has made the way into God's presence. His peace comes to us, the peace with God, that we're no longer enemies of God. Look at what he says. He says, verse 21, "Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds, expressed in your evil actions." You say, "Well, I wasn't an enemy of God." But in fact, all of us were, because our heart was aimed the opposite direction of God's heart. In our very nature, we were the enemies of God. But he says, "But now he has reconciled you." So, how does he do that? Verse 20, the latter part of verse 20, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Verse 22 says, "Now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death, to present you," I love this, "holy, faultless, and blameless before him." Because Jesus was who he was, is who he is, through his work on the cross, the Bible says, when I put my trust in him, he justifies me. He clothes me in the righteousness of Christ. I love that Zechariah 3 where Joshua, not the Joshua of the conquest, but the Joshua of the high priest, was in this vision of Zechariah. He was in the presence of God. He was wearing filthy robes. And Satan's accusing him. "He's not worthy to be in your presence, Father. Look at the filthiness of his robes." I'm so glad the story doesn't stop there. The angel of the Lord comes and he takes off the filthy garments and he puts a beautiful white garment upon Joshua's shoulders, and he says, now he's fit to be in your presence. That's what Jesus did at the cross for you. So that you can be holy, pure, blameless in his sight. It's done through the work of Jesus at the cross, his great work of reconciliation, his peace that he alone can bring. Only Jesus could bear the infinite penalty of sin, and only Jesus could give a gift of perfect righteousness, because he's the only man to ever live who was perfectly righteous. Jesus is able to make you friends with God. Isn't that an amazing thought? Look at verse 23. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith, we're not shifted away from the hope of the gospel you've heard. In other words, if you're the faith that fizzles before the finish had a flaw from the first, is basically what he's saying. This gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it. In other words, this is what we preach wherever we go. Doesn't matter what nation you are in, the blood of Jesus can reconcile you. Doesn't matter what your past is, the blood of Jesus can reconcile you. Aren't you glad that we serve a Savior like we serve? He's able. His peace is available. His peace comes through a simple choice to repent of our sin and put our trust in Jesus. But then his peace continues. And as we confess our sin and as we are filled with the Spirit of God, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace. All of these blessings that come to us come because Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus is able. I want to tell you, he's able to save any sinner. Jesus is able to help any person through any spiritual difficulty. Jesus is able to lift up those who are broken and downcast in their spirit. Ask Job, ask Habakkuk. He's in the business of lifting. I love what the psalmist says. He lifted me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on a rock. Jesus can do it. He's able. Jesus can bring your future to fruition. Sometimes the Spirit of God lays upon our hearts, this is what I want you to do. And we say, oh, Lord, that's intimidating to me. I don't think I can do that. Can I tell you something? Jesus is able. He's able to get you from point A to point B. He's able to fulfill all the plans he has for us. Pharaoh didn't think he was able. He learned differently. After several plagues, he changed and he sent the people out, not only sending them out as God had asked him to do in the first place, but sending them out with all the wealth of Egypt. The Israelites asked, give us things for our journey. And the Egyptians were like, just take whatever you want, just get out of here. That's why, because he's able. Jesus is able. Listen, take your burdens to him. Take your emotional pain to him. Take your sin to him. Jesus is able. And there's nothing impossible with God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great word. Thank you for the amazing truth that Jesus is able. Lord, help us not to forget that. It's so easy to forget it. Lord, we get our eyes on circumstances. We get our eyes on troubles of this life, but I thank you that Jesus is able, and that every time we take our burdens to him, every time we take our concerns to him, he's able to answer, or he's able to do what's best for us. And Father, help us never to